Thank you, Pastor Bowen, and thank you, Brother Danny, and thank you all the friends of the Metro World Ministry. It is a privilege to join you this morning, because this is a new series that begins the new year. Permit me to wish you a very happy new year. And I will do so using the words of Moses to the people of Israel as they were about to journey into the promised land. It is found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. I consider this passage particularly relevant as we also begin the new year, the land of the new year. You see, we've just begun a journey to an unknown destination. I call it the land of the new year. Since it is a different land, a different year, we must be ready for new experiences. And in order to be successful in this land of the new year, we must be willing to do things differently. We do not know what would happen to us on our way. There will be ups and downs. There will be mountain tops and deep valleys. But as with the God's ancient people in their journey to the promised land, we have been assured in Deuteronomy 11, verses 10 to 12, saying, and I'm quoting, "For the land," and by the way, when we talk about the land, we are talking about the promised land. Consider it in our setting, the land of the new year. Verse 10, "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as vegetable garden." Notice, it is not like the land of Egypt. This land of the new year we are just about to walk in and journey into is not going to be like the past year. Because, verse 11 says, "But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys." It is going to be a land of ups and downs, hills and valley. "A land which drinks water from the rain of heaven, unlike Egypt, which was a flat land, not hills and valley, where they had to water their vegetable gardens by going on their own to fetch water from the Nile and water it. This land we are about to enter, God himself is going to water this land. He is going to bless us. We shall not have to depend on ourselves. We are going to depend on the rains he is going to provide." But notice the specific promise, verse 12. "A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." I like that. It says, the land, referring to the promised land, but in our case, the land of the new year, "a land for which the Lord your God cares." God cares. And this year, in this land of the new year, we can count on his caring. "A land for which the Lord your God cares, and the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." So, my friends, fear not. God will guide you through this land of the new year, every step of the way, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. On this note, I wish you all a very happy new year. I also want to wish you a happy new year in the sense that Metro New York has chosen as its theme for the year, carry the message. Carry the message. And as Pastor Bowen has explained, the message we have in mind is the three angels' message or the Elijah's message. Elijah's message refers to a distinctive message of our time, a message that was proclaimed by the prophet of old, was reproclaimed by John the Baptist in preparing a people for Christ. And in our day, it is going to be presented by God's special people to prepare a people for the second coming of Christ. We need to carry the message, even as Elijah did. But how can we carry the message like Elijah if we do not have the same training Elijah had? And so this morning, we want to begin a study which is going to focus on the life of Elijah, the preparation the Lord took him through before he could carry the message. I titled the series, One Day at a Time. One Day at a Time. And the subtitle is Lessons from the Life of Elijah. This morning, our message is entitled, Sitting Beside the Drying Brooks. Sitting Beside the Drying Brooks. And it is going to be based on 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Sitting beside the drying brook. And my prayer for each one of us is, as we begin this new year, with the message, One Day at a Time, which is our series, our song in our heart is going to be, Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way. Teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. When in danger, make me brave. Make me know that thou canst save. Keep me safe by thy dear side. Let me in thy love abide. When I'm tempted to do wrong, make me steadfast, wise, and strong. And when all alone I stand, shield me with thy mighty hand. And the last stanza of that hymn says, May I do the good I know, be thy loving child below, then at last go home to thee, evermore thy child to be. Let this song capture the mood of our year as we begin this new year and begin this new week of the new year with the series One Day at a Time. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer, even as we go on. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, the privilege accorded us. We invite you to speak to us this morning in a message titled, Sitting Beside the Drying Brooks. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 1 to verse 6. It reads, And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And let me add verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had not been rain in the land, sitting beside the drying brook. Notice how the chapter begins, and Elijah the Tishbite, almost unannounced, Elijah is introduced to us. We are not told his parents' name, the university he attended, the position he hold. All we are told is Elijah the Tishbite. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Oh, by the way, I forgot. Notice in the King James Version, it begins with the word and. And Elijah the Tishbite. And is a conjunction. It connects two different thoughts. There is a preceding thought and a subsequent thought. An and connects it. And in mathematical language means addition. It almost seems like God is about to add something. Prior to chapter 17, a lot had taken place. The kingdom of Israel had been divided, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we are focusing on the northern kingdom. The first king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam, very bad man. Then there were about seven successive kings. All of them were bad. Of this, Ahab was the worst. And Elijah lived in the days of Ahab, a very bad king. He went and married Jezebel, the daughter of the hidden king Ethbaal of Zidon. And this woman sought to bring apostate religion or Baal worship in Israel. And he exterminated the school of the prophets, killed the prophets of God, closed down all the schools. She had a field day. In the Bible, Jezebel, in the book of Revelation, likens Jezebel to apostate religion. And so this apostate religious woman linked herself with political power. And she used the political power of Ahab to persecute God's faithful people. In the last days, spiritual Jezebel, apostate religion, will unite with the power of state. Use this political power to persecute God's people. Try to stamp out true Christianity. But when he thinks all is done, God is going to raise up Elijah to confront Ahab and Jezebel. And this is what happened in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Elijah, the name means, my God is Jehovah. When all others felt Jehovah was dead, Elijah said, my God is Jehovah. When there was sickness in the land, Elijah from the land of Gilead brought a balm from Gilead. He proclaimed a distinctive message, called the people to decision on Mount Carmel. This message, called Elijah's message, which was a showdown between the forces of evil and the forces of good, Elijah's message was received by a minority. Just as in the last days, only a minority, the Bible calls them remnant, will receive the message. After proclaiming the message, Elijah was sought after by Jezebel to be killed. He was persecuted. When we proclaim Elijah's message, there will be a persecution. And friends, anytime God's people rise up to proclaim a straight and uncompromising message, there will be persecution. Eventually, there is going to be a death decree which will be passed on God's Elijahs. But in the midst of all of this, as Elijah continues to proclaim his message, and as Jezebel and Ahab seek to kill Elijah, the Lord took Elijah to heaven without seeing death. So also in our day, the Lord will come again and take us to heaven without seeing death, the second coming of Christ. He will descend from heaven and take his own home. My dear friends, we are witnessing in our day the marriage between spiritual Ahab and Jezebel. Apostate religion is aligning itself with the forces of politics, and very soon, Jezebel is going to use Ahab to persecute God's people. And the question is, where is Elijah? We are the Elijahs. The Lord is preparing to carry the message, to carry Elijah's message. But in order to do so, we need the preparation God gave to Elijah of old. And so this week, we are studying the secret of Elijah's power. How was it that God trained Elijah so he could stand and proclaim and carry the message? So throughout this entire week, we'll be studying the life of Elijah, how God took him through different kinds of training in order for him to carry the message. Right from the word go, we are going to discover today the seven secrets of Elijah's power, the training the Lord gave him. The first is found in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain in these years, except by my word." In those days, no one could just go and appear before Ahab and Jezebel. They were so powerful, they were destroying God's people. But Elijah went from his hometown in Thisbe, in the land of Gilead, went to Samaria to confront the madness of Ahab and Jezebel. What was the secret of his power, the secret of his courage? Very simple. He says, the opening words is, "As the Lord God of Israel lives." The first secret of Elijah's power is a recognition that the Lord liveth. Jehovah liveth. Though he was standing before King Ahab and Jezebel, and though they had sought to stamp out the name of God, and though it seemed to many people that the Lord was dead, Elijah said, "Jehovah liveth." Ladies and gentlemen, the first secret of power, the first secret of successful Christian life, the secret of making it this new year is a recognition that the Lord liveth. Throughout the Bible, it is a recurring theme. In the midst of his sickness and trial, Job said, "The Lord liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth." The Apostle Paul says, "He ever liveth to make intercession for us." And John says, "Because he lives, we shall also live." And Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am he that died and am alive forevermore." I die, I'm alive forevermore. Jehovah liveth. Dear friends, Jesus is alive. You may pass through insurmountable difficulties, but Jehovah liveth. Your health situation may be tough, but Jehovah liveth. Your marriage problems may be growing worse and worse, Jehovah liveth. Whatever your situation may be, whatever you are going through, you need to recognize that in spite of that, Jehovah liveth. That was the first secret of Elijah's power. The second secret of his power is a recognition that the Lord was near. Notice verse 1. Elijah said, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. Before whom I stand. Elijah was standing before the power of Ahab and Jezebel. However, he recognized a higher power. He knew he was standing before God himself. A recognition that the Lord is always with us. He is near us. Wherever we are, in the marketplace, at workplace, in the church, in every community, God is with us. Though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shouldn't fear because He is with us. In the fire, He is with us. Friends, the secret of power is a recognition that God is with us. We stand before Him at all times, and His grace will be sufficient for us. There is another secret of Elijah's power. Notice verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. Verse 2 talks about the word of the Lord came to him. That phrase, the word of the Lord, appears in that chapter 6-7 times, depending on your version, emphasizing the power of the word of God. Notice Elijah did not go searching for the word. He didn't go to some strange meeting seeking for the word of revelation, the word of vision from some dreams. He didn't have to go to any psychic searching for the word. The word of the Lord came to him, and that word has come to us in the form of God's inspired word. And that word, if you want to know the will of God, you've got to open its pages, its sacred pages. And there you are going to find the word of the Lord. It is the very word of the Lord. That is another secret of Elijah's power. We cannot carry the message unless we take the word seriously. That leads to another secret of Elijah's power. When the word of the Lord came to him after he delivered his message, uncompromising message to Ahab and Jezebel, the word of the Lord came to him in verse 3 saying, get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Notice, he was to hide himself quietly away from the public view. That is another secret of power. Hiding yourself away. You see, Elijah needed to hide himself because in hiding yourself with God alone, away from public view, the Lord is able to grab your attention and speak to you. The experience of a hidden life, hiding yourself with God, we call it morning devotion, evening devotion, communion with God, quiet time. Hiding each morning on our knees with the Lord. You cannot carry the message. You cannot stand on Mount Carmel and proclaim the message unless you cultivate the habit of hiding yourself alone with God. All the giants of the Bible times hid themselves with the Lord. Christ hid himself in the hills of Nazareth, alone with God. Paul hid himself after his conversion in the Arabian desert, alone with God. John the Baptist hid himself over there in the wilderness, alone with God. We also need to hide ourselves, spending time alone with God. You see, when we are in public view, we are too full of ourselves. And the only way God grabs our attention, if we are not making time alone with Him, is that sometimes He forces us to be alone with Him by hiding us on a hospital bed. Sometimes he will hide us in bereavement and sorrow. And at that time, there's nothing to distract our attention, but we have to wait patiently on the Lord. The secret of power, hiding yourself alone with God. Begin each day with prayer. Another secret of Elijah's power is submission to God, total obedience. The Bible tells us that he totally obeyed the Lord. The Lord told him, hide yourself by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. You will drink of the brook that I have commanded you. Ravens will feed you there. Friends, that instruction from the Lord did not make sense. He was to hide himself, first of all, by the brook Kerith, which was before Jordan. Notice, it was not the sea of Kerith. It was not the river of Kerith. It was a brook, a tiny little stream, Kerith. He had said there is going to be no dew or rain. There would be famine. There would be drought. If all the water sources are going to dry up, the big waters are going to dry up, why would God send him to a tiny little brook? Why didn't he send him to the big river Jordan, which was nearby, but he chose to instruct him to hide by the brook Kerith, tiny little stream Kerith? It didn't make sense. But Elijah had to obey, submission to God. And he was to be fed by the ravens. I mean, ravens are very mean-spirited birds. They never take care of their young. And yet God says, these ravens are going to feed you there. It didn't make sense. And yet, the Bible says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's what verse 5 says. For he stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows in the Jordan. Absolute submission to God's will. Obedience to God is the secret of power. Before we can carry the message, we must spend time quietly with God and his word, but we must also totally surrender to him and obey him fully. Another secret of his power is a daily dependence on God. A daily dependence on God. Notice verse 6 says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Bread in the morning, bread in the evening. Morning and evening devotion. Daily dependence on God. God could have provided enough food that will last him all the 3.5 years. He could have produced some bags of rice and tucked it away somewhere in a refrigerator or in some cabinet somewhere. No, the birds brought the food day by day. Not enough for him to bank on, but it has to be day by day, one day at a time. Jesus said, give us each day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us our weekly bread, our monthly bread, our yearly bread, enough resources, bank account full, so that we can feel that we are in charge. No, it is day by day. The manna fell on Israel day by day. The ravens brought their food day by day, one day at a time. We don't have to store extra provision, hoarding resources in our banks for the moth and the thieves to break through and steal. Day by day is another secret of Elijah's power. And finally, the last secret is sitting day by day beside the drying brook. Notice verse 7 says, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Day by day, Elijah watched as the brook began to dry up, day by day, trickling in size until the song of the brook could no longer be heard in clear tones. I can imagine in my mind's eye, Elijah literally begging for water from the brook. Each day, as the size started dwindling, there was strong temptation for Elijah to leave the place and go to nearby Jordan, which had much water. But God had not sent him to Jordan. Though there was much water there, God said, "Stay at Kerith, even if your brooks dry up. Sit there beside the drying brook." Day by day. Why does the Lord allow our brooks to dry up? Because it is very difficult to sit beside drying brooks. Your drying brooks of resources, your drying brooks of your health, literally wilting away. Drying brooks of popularity. It is difficult to sit beside drying brook. Why does the Lord allow our brooks to dry up when there is a strong temptation to leave our appointed Kerith to our self-appointed Jordan? Sometimes we think we must leave Kerith and go to Jordan. There is healing over there. There are people over there to marry. My little church is too much of a little Kerith. I must go out there to Jordan. There are more people there. No. Stay by Kerith. Why does the Lord allow our brooks to dry up? Quick reasons. Number one, a miracle that is continued ceases to appear to us miraculous. We tend to take God's provisions for granted. And sometimes the only way the Lord reminds us that our daily survival is a miracle of grace is to dry up the familiar brooks. When you have full health, when everything is going well, you take God's provisions for granted. So God sometimes dries up our brooks because miracles continually performed ceases to be perceived as miracle. God wants to remind us that it is an act of grace alone. Why do the brooks dry up? So that we do not put trust in our brooks, but in the provider of the brooks. You see, when God continues to supply us in our brooks, we tend to think that the source of our brooks, our water, is the brooks, and we forget the provider of the brook. God's gifts are mistaken to the gift himself. We put trust in the gifts and not the giver of the gifts. And so Christ wants us to remember him as the water of life. Our brooks dry up, so we don't put our trust in our brooks, but the provider of the brooks. So if you are sitting beside a drying brook of pain, of suffering, of disappointment, of broken hearts, the drying brook of broken homes and broken hopes, why is your brook drying up, suffering in one form or the other? The Lord allows our brooks to dry up, just as Abraham's brook dried up. 3 awful days he walked as he struggled in suffering with the thought of sacrificing his son. Jacob's brook dried up. When all alone with the Lord, he had to wrestle with the angel. Joseph's brook dried up, awaiting death in a well, and later on being sold, falsely accused, and thrown in jail. Job's brook dried up as his illness got worse and worse. Jeremiah's brook dried up. Ezekiel's brook dried up as his wife lay dying, and God had to send him to carry the message. John the Baptist's brook dried up, languishing in prison. Ladies and gentlemen, all God's people have had to sit beside drying brook. Paul, his brook dried up as he was beaten by the rod. 3 times he was stoned. Whole nights drowned, robbed by robbers, weariness, painfulness. Our Lord Jesus Christ had his brooks dried up.
Watch him. As on that night in Gethsemane, he was arrested, finally tried, and even on the cross, he seemed like his brook was drying up. My Lord, why? Friends, we have to sit beside drying brooks because God wants us to put total trust in him alone. And so this morning, as we begin our week series, One Day at a Time, I've presented a message titled, Sitting Beside a Drying Brook. The training God gave Elijah in order for him to carry the message. What was the secret? Number one, Jehovah liveth. He lives. He lives, like the song say. I know he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He lives. Number two, the practice of God's presence, recognition he stands by us. Number three, the word of God, which came to him repeatedly, the word of God is the secret of power. Hiding ourselves, daily devotion, communion with him, total obedience, even if it doesn't make sense. A life of daily, absolute dependence on God. One day at a time, day by day. This is the secret of Elijah's power. And I pray that for us also, we shall have that secret of his power. And in the words of that song, day by day and each passing moment, we'll find strength to meet our trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure will give unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, its path of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. May the Lord help us to trust him. To trust him day and night. To trust him when our strength begins to fail. To trust him through the stormy gale. He is the master of our souls, and one day he would make us whole. Let us trust him. Let us trust him. Let us trust him day and night, for he will make all things right. Let us trust him. Let us trust him every day, come what may, let us trust him. In the beautiful poem of Kay Collins, I urge each one of us to depend on him day by day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of Elijah, the preparation you took him through, because the book of James tells us Elijah was just like any ordinary person like us, and yet you gave him power to stand uncompromisingly before the forces of Ahab and Jezebel. What was his secret? That secret is still available to us. Lord, help us to depend on you, to recognize even when our situation is deplorable and sometimes we think you are dead, to realize you are still alive. To recognize you are with us through our valleys and also our shadows of death. Help us, like Elijah, to put trust in your word. Heavenly Father, to hide ourselves, commune with you in a life of devotion, quiet time. May we, like him, submit totally to your will, even in situations that do not make sense. Help us to depend day by day, even when our brooks dry up. This is our message. This is our prayer. This is our plea. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.